All right, welcome to the Young Turks. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur. We have an amazing show ahead for you guys. A little bit later in the program, Steve Bannon going nuclear. How is he attacking the Trump administration? That's going to be awesome. People have begun discussing the 25th Amendment, removing a president for mental incompetence. I mean, when you phrase it like that, it seems fairly straightforward, right? Of course, it's not. It's a very difficult process. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. In the second hour, we've got some political stories. Why did four Navy cruisers all crash within this year? There's something weird about that story and fishy about it. How much are we paying for Trump's vacations? And then also in the second hour, along with those two stories, a famous Hollywood director who's known as a progressive and a feminist, who's been on this program, has been outed by his wife. It is a very controversial, very interesting conversation that we're gonna have a little bit later. Okay, but in the first segment, we're starting with nothing but wall-to-wall fun. Let's start with the solar eclipse. Okay, so solar eclipse happened today, fun for everybody. Now, what's the one thing that they told you? Don't look up at the sun, you can go blind. In fact, I saw news stories of folks that had looked up at the sun in the last solar eclipse over 30 years ago, and they never recovered their eyesight. So this is very well known. A lot of the schools keep the kids indoors because they think the kids might not be mature enough to not look at the sun. So of course, what do we have? Donald Trump goes up on the Truman balcony in the White House and looks right into the sun. Okay, there he is. There's the first look. Don't you put on the glasses? He did have the glasses on earlier, but of course he can't help himself. Then he wants to point to it because he's a child. He's like, oh, now see, you see, there's the sun that I'm looking at. Go to the next one. There is Melania, who's got glasses on, and his son's looking down. They didn't have to warn the son; they had to warn the president. Okay, so here's my favorite part of the story. Business Insider reports, according to a White House pool report, one of Trump's aides shouted, "Don't look!" when Trump came out and pointed at the sky. Because they have to remind the man-child of very, very simple things like don't look into the sun. Now, I'm a bad man, but I was amused by the thought that Trump would have blinded himself. He has in other ways, metaphorically. But if he did it literally and he has to walk around with the glasses, he's like, nobody knew that looking into the sun was this complicated. Okay, now I wouldn't root for that. That's a bad thing. But him, of course, looking into the sun, not a big issue, but a funny one. And if I told you ahead of time, again, even if you're a Trump supporter, what do you think? Does Trump look into the sun or doesn't he? You know what you'd have said. Of course, he's gonna look into the sun. By the way, Twitter, of course, also had some fun with it. I like Josh Billinson wrote, this is the moment he became president. And some thought that he was doing it because somebody told him not to look into the sun. Oh yeah, nobody tells me what to do, okay? I'll ban transgender people from the military. I'll fire that guy and I'll look right into the sun. And of course, the leading theory was he thought that it was fake news that you lose your eyesight if you look into the sun. Be careful what you call fake news. There was also a cute moment where Jeff Sessions looked with glasses at the sun, his hands clasped. Hey, it's a cute moment from the Trump White House. Didn't think that could happen. Okay, well, there you have it. Let's hope that this eclipse is not only, well, this eclipse doesn't set on the sun, so that analogy didn't work. We're moving forward. Okay, on to second fun story. Okay. Oh, I love that graphic. Okay. Chris Christie's in a world of trouble in New Jersey, as you all know, but this is his last term. His popularity has dipped to 15%. He's the least popular governor in the country. Sam Brownback of Kansas is also so deeply unpopular, they had to make up a post for him to take in the Trump White House where he's supposed to be a liaison for religion, kind of, at large. And Chris Christie's even more unpopular than Brownback, who had to run from his own state in shame. So where's he gonna run to? Well, he was thinking of doing a sports talk radio. There's a great update on that today. That's why I'm giving you this story. But let me just quickly remind you of how it went when he was on sports radio. Here's one caller's interaction with
him. Governor, next time you want to sit on a beach that is closed to the entire world except you,
yeah,
you put your fat ass in a car and go to one that's open to all your constituents.
Well, you know,
not just you and yours.
Interesting, Mike. You know what?
What's that, Gov?
You know, Mike, I love getting calls from communists in Montclair. You know,
you're a bully, guys, Governor, you know, and I don't like bullies.
You know what? And listen, I'm not the one who came on the air. Hey, hold on, Mike. Mike, I'm not the guy who came on the air, swore on the air.
Who swore?
And so you did.
Get the heck out of here.
You know, you're swearing on the air, Mike. You're a bum.
You have bad optics.
Okay? Mike, I'd love to come look at your optics every day, buddy.
So look, I've listened to sports talk, especially when I was younger. It seems kind of mild. Oh, you cursed on the air. He called you a fat ass. I mean, if we can't call people fat asses on sports talk radio, let's just not have sports talk radio. So now he was trying out for Mike Francesca's role at WFAN because Francesca's stepping down at year's end. News has come out. On Saturday, the New York Daily News reported the New Jersey governor, Christie, was no longer being considered by WFAN to replace departing sports radio icon Mike Francesca at year's end. Oops, couldn't even get that job. Well, Chris Christie then had to put out a statement saying, after considering the other options that I have been presented with for post-gubernatorial employment, I declined their request to do additional shows. they didn't turn me down. I turned them down. I mean, I didn't say that earlier, and I didn't never mention it publicly or otherwise. But trust me, it wasn't me. It was that I turned them down. I got you. Oh, that's so embarrassing. That's so wonderfully embarrassing. By the way, you know, if you want to be successful in media, you also have to be popular. And Chris Christie has burned or closed down every bridge there is, and has lost all of his popularity, whatever that he had in the beginning. And is now jobless, soon will be out of the governor's mansion and homeless. Not in the streets, I suspect, because he did do right by his donors. But the fact that he can't find a job anywhere is wonderful. Okay, now we move forward. So recently, Alex Jones was in Seattle. He apparently had a bunch of dust-ups. Don't care. Somebody threw coffee on him. I don't know if it's real or not real. It turns out that guy was an actor, and everybody's trying to figure out if it's a conspiracy within a conspiracy, if it's a false flag operation. Don't care. He's not a relevant person. He believes that they're 80% gorillas, 80% pig, 80% humans, all in one creature. But the guy's a full-blown lunatic. I just like to laugh at him. So that's what we're going to do here. He apparently chased down three different people in Seattle. This was one of them. I'm going to show you the video. Not very many things you'll see funnier than Alex Jones running. Let's watch.
Set up and written in secret. And that's why bipartisanly, come on over here. No, you flip me off. Come on, coward. No. Come on. You're not an intellectual. You're a fake and a fraud. Come on. No. You want to flip me off? No, he's not an intellectual. You're a dumbass.
Fuck off.
No, you fuck off.
I am fucking up.
Hey, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Coward. Yeah. You know something? I'm not afraid of you people. You got something to say? Say it. You have nothing intellectual.
I said fuck you.
Yeah, because you're an intellectual dumbass who watches mainstream media. Anyways. It's cowards want to get in people's faces.
That guy cracks me up, man. At least he's entertaining. Okay. Who in the middle of a news report runs after somebody like that? Who thinks that it is a smart thing to say that you are an intellectual dumbass? But come on, let's have fun. You know we're going to break down the video. First, the best part, running. And I like it, he gets discombobulated at the end. And he's like, anyway, what was I in the middle of doing? Look, I don't know if he's mentally unstable, very, very likely. He's acting also likely, you know, or a combination thereof. But this guy had a couple of good comebacks, man. Let's watch one of them right now.
Fuck off. No, you fuck off.
I am fucking off.
Hey, fuck you.
That's one of my favorites. I am fucking off. Hard to argue with that. One more.
You know something? I'm not afraid of you people. You got something to say? Say it. You have nothing intellectual.
I said fuck you.
Yeah, because you're an intellectual dumbass.
You got something to say? Say it. Yeah, I just said it. Fuck you. Dude, when you get outwitted by a guy who's just crossing the street giving you the middle finger, it's not a pretty day for Alex Jones. I'm going to give you Seattle PD's reaction here in a second. And afterwards, we're going to watch that run one last time. So Jesus queued up again. So in this case, somebody reached out and asked the Seattle Police Department, are you guys going to do anything? Because they think that Alex Jones is a fraud and instigating, or they think the guy who threw the coffees, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I like the snark that the Seattle Police Department had. They said, we haven't received any official reports. As far as we know, that could be an actor playing Alex Jones. Zinger! I like it. Of course, that's a reference to his recent child custody hearings where he said, and his lawyers claimed, he's just an actor. He doesn't really mean any of it. He's just acting a role, and in his private life, he's not like that at all. For the sake of anyone who knows him in his private life, I hope not, because if you say anything slightly wrong, you might get this reaction. The president takes that guy seriously. Oh God, every time I think about that, it goes from funny to incredibly tragic. All right, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, Steve Bannon going to war. Oh, these guys are going to totally F each other up. It is going to be great. Hey guys, back on the Young Turks. I've got a ton of stories for you guys, so only a couple of tweets here. Digital Shark says he can't see his approval ratings if he's blind. Jay says, wait. Alex Jones is pissed about someone fucking up a live broadcast? That's funny. Nice job, Jay. Gave Jay a t-shirt, okay? ShopTYT.com for t-shirts. Jessica says, who does the sound effects for TYT Live? Because they should be running the place. So now, normally that's Bart. So Bart, you're apparently in line for CEO. But in that case, for the Alex Jones video, it was actually J.R. Jackson. So sorry, you go to third in line of command, Bart. JR is now number two, apparently. Okay, so let's go to turmoil in the White House, which is a segment we could do every day. We should think about that. All right, Steve Bannon is now loose and out in the wild, if you will. One of the questions that arises out of that situation is there going to be more stability at the White House now? Good luck with that. So let's begin to answer that in a couple of different ways. First, Washington Post has this story. They explain no administration in history has been so divided among itself about the direction about where it should go. And Steve Bannon said that in an interview with him. So he's saying no administration has ever been this divided, saying, adding that Trump's base is frustrated by a congressional agenda that has dovetailed more with traditional Republican priorities than the agenda Trump championed. Now, Steve Bannon is correct about both of those things. I've never seen a White House this divided. I mean, Obama talked about having a team of rivals. This is a team of rivals. No, Obama's was incredibly calm, cool, and collected. And as much as there were flare-ups from time to time with Bush and Clinton, nothing, Reagan, nothing like this, nothing. It's an absolute madhouse over there. And it's partly because they don't agree. And it's also partly because of ego. And in my opinion, they're all bad guys. And so what do bad guys do? They stab each other in the back. So all of that has added up to complete chaos. And plus, the most important part, which we're going to talk about more in a second, is no one's home. There's no boss. There's no competent leader that has allowed them to do this. But Bannon is right about the second part too, which is that in that divided leadership or divided house with no leadership, the establishment guys have largely won. So there's talk of building a wall, but not much has been done about it. The trade wars that were promised with China and other folks have not materialized at all. Instead, more the establishment, hey, let's keep everything calm and cool and make sure we just get tax cuts for the rich, and who cares about your other parts of your agenda, which might actually hurt our business interests. So that's out, that's gone. Just about every policy issue you look at, the populist wing of Trump is not winning. Now you can say, hey, they're winning on the whole white nationalist stuff. If you can call that a win, but obviously Steve Bannon was kicked out partly because of those reasons. So they're not winning on that anymore, they're a mess. And second of all, that misunderstands their mandate, whatever little mandate that they had, which was to be, and Bannon is right about this too, to do economic populism. Don't get me wrong, his policy ideas are horribly wrong. And if the country went in that direction, it would greatly hurt the country, not help the country. But in terms of politics, that is what his base elected him for. They don't like the establishment. They put Trump in office specifically because he was running against the establishment. If he was running against another populist, he almost certainly would not have won, but he was running against an incredibly establishment figure in Hillary Clinton. So this doesn't bode well for Trump on a couple of different grounds because of that. All right, so they explained further. In an interview in Washington on Saturday, I should say, Bannon warned Republican leaders to enthusiastically support Trump's priorities on taxes, trade, and funding a massive border wall, or risk the wrath of the president's base, including Breitbart, to which Bannon returned Friday as executive chairman. Look, taxes are easy. They all agree on giant trillions of dollars in tax cuts for the rich. They will do that whether it's with Trump or not. That is Republican 101. So that's the one area they're all aligned on, and that's why I've said from day one, there's one thing you could bank on, and it's giant tax cuts for the rich and for multinational corporations. On trade, they don't agree. So Bannon's contingent is not likely to win, in which case they get angry and start attacking the Trump administration. Good news for the rest of us. And one of the things they want to win on is, even Paul Ryan has said, well, look, I mean, these tax cuts are so enormous and it's going to create giant deficits. I mean, if you thought deficits were bad under Democrats, first of all, that's because of George W. Bush, that Obama got that deficit in the first place and he actually decrease it by 50%. But if you thought that was bad, wait till you get a load of the deficits after this tax cut. So, and Paul Ryan knows that, and he's like, well, can we at least do an importation tax? And corporate America was like, no, you can't. The Koch brothers are like, no, we get a lot of stuff from Mexico. No, you will not be allowed to do that. And Paul Ryan said, okay, sorry, sir, absolutely, sir. Just tax cuts, nothing else. So they won't get any of that stuff, and hence there'll be more infighting in the White House. Now we go to Matt Schlapp, who's the chairman of the American Conservative Union. They're backing Bannon's crew here. He says, I think Steve is going to be more effective on the outside. On the outside, if you're well funded and you are feared, you have a platform, you're going to be a power player. Steve has all of that in spades. Well, outside of Trump, I don't see why anybody would fear Steve Bannon. Yes, Steve Bannon could strip away votes from his base, and that's a legitimate concern for the president. If you're a Democratic congressperson, the idea of being afraid of Steve Bannon should be absolutely laughable. I mean, he is such a polarizing figure, he's nothing but an ally for you politically in that sense, and you should attack him with 100% ferocity. Now, not something the Democratic establishment is that familiar with, but man, is this a soft target. If you can't hit this target, then you better get out of the game. But there's one other interesting thing in that quote, which is he's well funded. Now, Breitbart doesn't make any money. Breitbart has lost 90% of his advertisers since this administration began, and their viewer numbers, and I should say their reader numbers, are in the tank. So, how are they well funded? Because on the right, they don't run real businesses, it's just propaganda outlets. So, the Mercers, who are the white nationalist Wall Street guys, so they're a fun combo of racist and Wall Street abuse, are funding Breitbart. They're like, well, we want propaganda for white nationalism, we want propaganda for giant tax cuts and our you know, extreme right wing position. And obviously, you losers at Breitbart can't make any money. Come on, when's the last time a conservative publication ever made money? New York Post loses money. Weekly Standard has a comically low circulation rate. I mean, all these publications are an absolute disaster. They're not winning with them. They're a mess. So guys like Mercer have to come in and prop them up. So it's interesting that there is still that money out there for Breitbart to go not only cause trouble for Democrats, but also not establishment Republicans. And with that we get, and I could respect that, but also for their own president. Hey, if you're not going to play, we're going to take our ball and go home and, you know, damn the torpedoes. It's probably not a good strategy for them overall, but music to my ears. Okay, now, well, how significant is this going to be conflict going to be? Well, here's another excerpt from the Post. On Friday, a flurry of bravado-filled interviews with Bannon appeared on various websites, including one in which he said he felt, quote, as if I've got my hands back on my weapons, and was prepared to, quote, crush the opposition. Now, talk of crushing the opposition is fairly standard, especially online. Having his weapons back in Breitbart, okay, it's right-wing talk, not a big deal. For the rest of us, I don't think. But again, if you're the Trump White House and you just kicked this guy out and he's talking about grabbing his weapons, and he also called Breitbart a killing machine, questionable right-wing terminology there, but that is problematic, of course. Now we go to a Republican strategist who says, what it does not do is remove the person who's creating the most drama in the White House, and that's Donald Trump. He's going to continue to do what he's going to do. That means, yeah, you might have got rid of Bannon, and you might have got rid of Priebus and Spicer and Scaramucci and all these other people, but they're not the ones that are causing the problem. They're a symptom of the problem. The problem is Donald Trump. He's a total clown. So, end of the Washington Post story here. It says, on most of these issues, there is no evident strategy among Republicans on either side of Pennsylvania Avenue for bridging divisions and bringing Trump and congressional Republicans together. Yes, there is no evident strategy because Donald Trump is in charge. So, you can have Steve Bannon go, and it might be immediately helpful because you restore some degree of order in the White House. Long term, it might be damaging because he's going to fire all of his cannons on you apparently at some point. But at the end of the day, it isn't going to help anything because the source of the instability was not Bannon. The source of some of the hatred and the white nationalism, etc., might have been Bannon, but the source of the instability is the president himself. So at the end of the day, you've solved nothing and probably created more headaches for yourself now that you're in some ways going to war with your base. That should be fun. Okay, what do we think, guys? Do we take a break here to fix the lights? No, we keep going? All right. As you can tell, we are not funded by the Mercers. Okay, we'll get some investor money on that though. Okay, so let's go to the next story. Now, to give you a sense of how much Steve Bannon might be going to war with the Trump administration now that he's been relieved of command, now that he's no longer chief strategist for Donald Trump, we're going to give you a bunch of quotes about how his publication Breitbart, and he is now back to being in charge of Breitbart, is, well, in their words, let me quote Steve Bannon here, quote, we're going to war. You're going to war with the White House? You're going to do a little bit of this? Fun for everybody, except Donald Trump. For progressives, those guys ripping each other to shreds is a wonderful moment. Because remember, taking down the establishment is a worthy goal if you win and you have a good strategy that's going to deliver for the American people. In their case, they won and then started punching each other in the face. And so now Steve Bannon and his ilk are out of power. This is them trying to get back into power. So what are you going to do? You're going to defeat Trump and put someone even more right wing in his place? Good luck with that strategy. Someone even more in a populist rage, someone who's a bigger white nationalist. It reminds me of that the crying Nazi, the guy who was featured in the Vice documentary about Charlottesville. who said that the problem with Trump was that he wasn't racist enough. He let his daughter marry a Jew. Okay, good luck trying to find someone more racist, more bigoted, etc., to execute your strategy. It ain't gonna happen. All they're gonna do is rip each other up now. So, and by the way, you have to understand something. I'm not a guy who's been on that side. I know that the MSNBCs of the world just love it when Republicans fight, but that's in reality 90% of the time, that's the right wing of the Republican Party pulling the rest of the Republicans further right. It's not really a problem for them. For them, that's the solution. In this case, they pulled him right. It wasn't right enough. And now they're going to war. And here, it's not going to be effective. They can't make Trump any more right wing than he already is. They're not going to change the minds of establishment players like Gary Cohn and H.R. McMaster. This is a war that the Breitbart guys will lose, but they will do a lot of damage to Trump and the Republican Party losing it, which for the rest of us is great news. So let me tell you more about it. Bannon also says we have a duty to the country to be the vanguard of the movement. Well, again, fair enough if you were going to seize power, but you already did seize power and it didn't work. So now this is the movement turning on their leader and turning on the rest of the party. Have at it, Hoss. So Alex Marlowe is a Breitbart news editor in chief, and he says about Bannon, quote, he wants to beat their ideas into submission. Well, right now, that's certainly not the direction that it's going, because it appears Steve Bannon has been beaten into submission, and hence he's now running a failing media outlet online again. Again, they make almost no money, almost all their revenue is gone, 90% of advertisers have pulled out, and their numbers are not doing well at all. Their readership has gone down. So that's him leading a movement. That's him beating ideas into submission. So far, it certainly doesn't look like it. Okay, now they explain here in Vanity Fair, Bannon's main targets are the West Wing's group of New York Democrat, quote unquote, globalists, Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, and former Goldman Sachs president Gary Cohn, as well as the Hawks, comprised of National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster and his deputy Dina Powell. So, if they were talking about how they were against interventionism, which was one of their claims during the campaign, and Trump has said over and over again that he wants to get out of Afghanistan and there's no winning there, except tonight he's set to announce further troop escalation in Afghanistan. Well, they didn't win that war. And by the way, they don't actually mean de-escalate. Bannon's bright idea was to hand over Afghanistan to a bunch of privately funded mercenaries who would then get to do whatever they want to maximize profit with guns in a different country under the auspices of the federal government when they are not the federal government. That's the only thing that's a worse idea than further escalation in Afghanistan. So they don't really mean that they are against the Hawks. They just want to make more money off of wars, and you should know their real agenda. In terms of fighting against Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, well, good luck. That's the president's daughter and son-in-law, and so, but they're going to fight dirty anyway. We'll tell you about that in a second. Now, Vanity Fair further explains that on Sunday, Breitbart took renewed aim at McMaster, who's of course the national security advisor, with a headline claiming he advocated Quran kissing. Okay, so that's insane. So I looked further into that. Pretty sure General McMaster is not all about making out with the Quran. So let's go to graph 46 first. The title of this insane piece on Breitbart was H.R. McMaster endorsed book that advocates Quran kissing apology ceremonies. Did a US general really advocate that our troops going around apologizing to Muslims and kissing the Quran over and over? Of course not. You want to talk about fake news? Breitbart is the king of fake news. That's a grossly misleading title in a preposterous article. So what's the reality? The Hill reports the book that McMaster in his tenure as general did promote was a guide, and it's a military manual by the way, to how, quote, not to inflame religious tensions with Muslim populations in the countries where American troops are deployed. Now, if you're a general, that seems pretty sensible. We're going into Iraq. Our claim is that we're going to liberate Iraq. So if you go in there saying you're against Muslims, Iraq is almost all Muslim, that's a really bad idea and will get more troops killed. Remember, at a minimum, pretend that you're there to liberate them. It's not a matter of apologizing, it's a matter of not getting our troops killed. Nobody's telling them to go kiss Karaz. What they're telling them to do is don't antagonize the local population we are pretending to help. Otherwise, you'll be in a bigger civil war and a bigger mess than we were already in. Seems pretty sensible, and as usual, Breitbart completely misleading you. Gee, I wonder why they don't have very many readers. Okay, now who else is Bannon going to go after? He's Bannon ally said, "Oh yeah, Jared Kushner." Quote: "He said Jared is a dope." Wow. Apparently, he calls Jared and Ivanka Javanka. Whatever. Now, there's another piece of the profit motive here that might not make Bannon's motivations purely beneficial to just the movement, but perhaps also beneficial to his bottom line. The Bannon camp believes that Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch, was especially receptive to Kushner's lobbying because Murdoch is worried about the rise of Sinclair Broadcasting as a competitor of Fox, and blames Bannon for Trump's decision so far not to block Sinclair's $3.9 billion takeover of Tribune Media in May. So Murdoch owns Fox News, he doesn't want competition to it. He wanted to block the Sinclair merger because Sinclair is also insanely right wing and might be a competitor to Fox News for that extreme right wing part of the population. So Murdoch's mad that that merger doesn't get blocked, although he loves it when his mergers are approved. Gee, it's almost as if they care about their bottom line and not real ideology, all these guys. So Murdoch uses Kushner, and now Bannon doesn't like that because he might want to do a deal with Sinclair that involves a new organization and more money for Steve Bannon. So they say all the Breitbart staffer says all the Sinclair guys are super tight with Breitbart. Imagine if we got together Hannity and O'Reilly and started something. Okay, so they are in fact thinking about starting a new venture, and hence they were pissed because their own financial motivations were touched. Now, what's he going to do with his feud with Kushner and the rest? Ooh, this is where it gets really good. In his feud with Kushner, Bannon may have a powerful ally. Reince Priebus also recently departed from the White House with a quiver of grudges. Recently, according to several sources, Bannon has told friends he wants Priebus to give his account of the James Comey firing to Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller. Wow, you get that? That is Bannon telling Priebus, who's also pissed, hey, why don't you tell him that Kushner helped fire James Comey? Why? Because that means that Kushner could be investigated by Mueller, a criminal investigation. And does that investigation lead up to the president? Very, very likely so. And here's Steve Bannon and the extreme right wing going, don't care. And if that leads to Trump's impeachment, so what? In fact, they're going to get more specific about that in a second. But let me give you more from the Vanity Fair piece. At Breitbart, Bannon has a brigade of similarly happy warriors. They explain, here's a quote, "We're in a loud bar celebrating the return of our captain," Breitbart's Washington editor Matt Boyle told me on Friday night. Breitbart's defense of Trump has so far helped keep the Russia scandal from gaining traction on the right, but that could swiftly change if Trump, under the influence of Kushner and Cohn, deviates too far from the positions he ran on. But he will, because Trump doesn't even know the positions he ran on. Doesn't know, doesn't care, has never cared. He was just crowd surfing. He was A-B testing in the crowd. He was like, we're against trade wars. Boo, crickets. We're for trade wars. Yes, that's it. I meant we're for trade wars. But now that Bannon is gone and everybody else is gone and all you have is the establishment left, the guy's an idiot. He doesn't have two brain cells to rub together. He just listens to whoever's in the room last. And who's in the room last now? Kushner, Cohn, and the other guys. McMaster and the others. So he will deviate from what Steve Bannon wants. And then Bannon and Breitbart are now promising that means we'll help unearth the Russian connections, help the Russian investigation of Robert Mueller, the one that they had been diminishing all along and saying that it was a nothing burger, that it was no big deal. Now, get a load of this quote. If that happens, said one high-level Breitbart staffer, meaning the deviation from what Breitbart wants and Steve Bannon wants, quote, "We're prepared to help Paul Ryan rally votes for impeachment." right club and we've got war. That's what this is. So his own base already, a couple of days after Steve Bannon's let go, is not only talking about war, which they did on day one, now they're talking about impeachment. Now remember, if Democrats ever brought up impeachment, the right wing would go, oh my God, how dare you? How dare you? But the minute they're touched even slightly, they're like, well, I mean, could help Paul Ryan, their mortal enemy. They hate Paul Ryan. We could help Paul Ryan get votes for impeachment. Make our day. Have at it, Hoss. Everybody take out your political shivs and go to work on one another. Now, this is a right-wing fight that actually doesn't pull the Republican Party and Washington and the country to the further right wing. This actually does a lot of damage. It'll do more damage to Trump, the Republican Party, and everything else by the time this war is done. So it's a rare war I support. Go forward, fire away. Now, let's go to the next story, which is about why people aren't leaving. Okay. So there's a lot of folks calling for resignations, including myself. I thought there should be mass resignations in the Trump White House after he said there were good people on the neo-Nazi side. I'm going to show you some of those good people in a second. And he said, well, I mean, both sides are culpable. When a Nazi ran over protests, counter-protesters, injured 19 people and murdered Heather Heyer. Those were unconscionable comments from a man who's clearly bigoted and racist. And at what point do you draw the line? Well, apparently a lot of Steve Mnuchin's classmates from back in the day at Yale are asking him that question privately. So he did a public post where he answered them. He said, I feel compelled to let you know that the president in no way, shape or form believes that neo-Nazi and other hate groups who endorse violence are equivalent to groups that demonstrate in peaceful and lawful ways. Well, first of all, when you have to remind people that the president is not a neo-Nazi sympathizer, you're already in a world of trouble. That should not have to be clarified. But in this case, it does have to be clarified. And by the way, he's absolutely not correct when he says, in no way, shape or form does the president believe that. Because he had a giant press conference where he blamed the other side. And he did draw a moral equivalency. It's clear as day, we covered it on the show. You can go back and watch the videos. Both sides, he said, were at fault. He said there's very, very violent people among the counter-protesters, the people who were actually killed. It's absolutely outrageous. So Mnuchin is lying to try to save his own ass. And he points out, he says, look, I'm an American of Jewish heritage and background, and so I wouldn't stay in the administration if I thought he was with neo-Nazis. So you claim. But that power, it is addicting. He went on to say, I don't believe the allegations against the president are accurate. And I believe that having highly talented men and women in our country surrounding the president and his administration should be reassuring to you. That's a subtle hint to those guys. Hey, if you think it's bad with me and the rest of the folks inside the administration, imagine what would happen if we left, then the idiot would be on his own to do even more damage. Boy, really reassuring that that's the guy you're working for. So Mnuchin says that the president was not equivocating, we know he was. I just want to give you a sense of why his classmates are concerned. Remember, Donald Trump said there are very good people on the side of the original protesters, the white nationalist protesters. So I want to show you a piece from the Vice documentary. We'll have the link to the full documentary below, and it is great, where they were chanting on Friday night. Yes, they've got the torches at a white nationalist get together. That already should have been a giant clue. If it wasn't, they did this. Okay, you guys, you see the guys in the Nazi haircuts and the Nazi flags and symbols. maybe you don't know what those symbols stand for, and you certainly don't know what the haircut stands for, then they hand you a torch at a white nationalist parade. If you're anywhere near a decent person, you've already exited the building. But maybe you're the dumbest person alive and you don't know what those torches represent when in the context of white nationalism. Then they start chanting, "You will not replace us." You're confused by that chant. What do you mean, who's you and who's us? And then they start chanting blood and soil. Well, that's an old Nazi chant, but maybe you're ignorant of that as well. Well, when they get to Jews will not replace us, and you're still in the march, then I think it becomes a little harder to make the case, even if you're the dumbest person alive, that you were a very fine person. And you happen to go there, and now look, hey man, we were just having fun chanting Jews will not replace us. No, we know exactly who was on that side, and Trump is still defending those guys to this day. So Mnuchin not leaving will be a great stain on his record, which already has plenty of stains, let alone everyone involved. Now, Axios broke down after talking to a lot of Trump staffers, including senior staffers, why they're staying. So here's one excuse they were using. General Mattis needs us. So that's not an actual quote by somebody, but it's the idea that they're trying to convey. Many talk about their reluctance to bolt on their friends and colleagues who are fighting the good fight to force better Trump behavior decisions. They rightly point out that together they have learned how to ignore Trump's rhetoric and at times collectively steer him to more conventional policy responses. In other words, same thing as Steve Mnuchin intimating, if you think he's bad with us, you should get a load of him without us. The guy's a total idiot, and without Jim Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, and all of us to contain him, he'll even be more childlike, more of a tyrant, and more of a danger to the Republic. Wow, very comforting. Okay, another excuse, now this is a full-blown excuse, is Trump's not as evil as portrayed. All of them talk up the president as more reasonable off Twitter and TV than on it. This gives them hope, though almost all increasingly say it's a fleeting hope. He will listen to his better angels, or at least the pleas of Ivanka. Hope against hope. Now that is the audacity of hope. No, Trump is not going to listen to his better angels. He doesn't have any better angels. He is a white nationalist at heart himself. He's always been racist. What he did to the Central Park Five and what he continues to them is an outrage, let alone Obama, let alone all the racist things that he has backed, let alone Charlottesville and his response to it. There are no better angels. He's not a better person off of TV or Twitter. He's the same kind of madman. In fact, there's 1,000 reports about how he's even worse to his staff behind the scenes and yells at him nonstop for problems that he created. So that's nothing but nonsense. All right, excuse number 3. You have no idea how much crazy stuff we kill. The most common response centers on the urgent importance of having smart, sane people around Trump to fight his worst impulses. If they weren't there, they say, we would have a trade war with China, massive deportations, and a government shutdown to force construction of a southern wall. If you have to explain to a reporter that if we leave, our president will destroy the country, there's a good chance you're working for the wrong guy. That you have a much better chance of serving the country, not by helping that guy, but coming out and declaring openly what you know about the president, what you've been hiding about the president the whole time, and telling people this guy's a danger to the Republic. So don't give me any BS about, I'm just trying to help the country by working for this madman. There's a much better way of helping the country. It's by getting rid of that madman, of course, in legal and political ways. And finally, there is a little bit of honesty. Some of them said, in essence, we like the power. It's not a direct quote, but listen to what they had to say, summarized by Mike Allen at Axios. Well, no one comes out and says that this blatantly, but working the White House, even this one, is intoxicating and ego-stroking. They have enormous say over regulations and rules, invites and implementation, government jobs and access to the Oval. They also know they are one step away from an even bigger job in government, so it's hard to just walk away. By the way, there's so much attrition and Trump fires so many people that if they stick around, they might get promoted higher and higher and higher, and then they can, when they become a lobbyist, they can say, do you know what kind of senior position I had at the White House? Now pay me. Let me just assure you, that's actually the number one reason that they're staying at the Trump White House. Everything else is ancillary, and besides which doesn't help their cause. The rest of it is basically an admission that they work for an incompetent madman, and they still to this day have not resigned in great shame, which is exactly what they should do. Young Turks. All right, back on the Young Turks. Let me read a couple of tweets for you guys. Gabby says, so we should get ready to build statues to the losers of this impending Republican civil war. That's a good point. In fact, that leads me to YouTube Super Chat, where Kyle Naylor wrote in, participation statues, the South lost. Indeed. Back to Twitter for a second. Deborah NYC says, Jared and Ivanka are dopes. I don't need Bannon to tell me that. By the way, you do hashtag TYT live on Twitter if you want us to read your comments. And on YouTube, you do use Super Chat, and that also helps the show. Mark on Twitter says, their movement is worse than a bowel movement. I'm amused by that. I'm also amused by Claire saying, to coin a good British phrase, the administration can't organize a piss up in a brewery. Now, I don't know what that means, but it sounds awesome. I like British phrases. Okay, and finally on YouTube Super Chat, Take You Tuesday has a random comment about Game of Thrones, and we did do our live coverage last night as we do on Sundays. We watch it and then we do the review. And this is not a spoiler alert because he doesn't know anything more than we do. He's just guessing, but it is a pretty good guess to be fair to him. He says, my end prediction is John and Danny will have sex slash fall in love. She will get pregnant, but will die in birth. Kid will die as well. Then John will rule all of Westeros as the king. He is the story of ice and fire. Damn, that was a pretty good ending to that comment. And in case you're wondering, and you're a Game of Thrones fan, Daenerys, Tyrion, Jon Snow, all of their mothers died during childbirth. Interesting. Okay. So now, back to our real Game of Thrones in the real world, where there is some significant intrigue. Let's go to that. Now, there's a couple of different ways that Donald Trump could end his term. One is it goes the whole 4 years and then he loses re-election. Of course, it can go 8 years and then he would step down. 8 years. 4 years, that's a good one. Okay, he's not going to make it. So if he's not going to make it, there are only two paths for him to leave, impeachment and resignation. Wait, there's actually a third. So impeachment is the one that is most often talked about. Resignation could come for a number of reasons, mainly because you're worried they're going to impeach you. But the third path is the 25th Amendment. If you are mentally incompetent to carry on the duties of the office, the vice president combined with majorities in Congress can have you removed. Now, some scholars say that it is a very, very high standard, meaning you don't pretty much have to be in a coma. Others say, no, that's not the case at all. We would just have to be absolutely sure that he is literally mentally incompetent to hold office, not meaning that we think he's dumb. That's a fairly easy case to make at this point, I believe, and probably could get a huge percentage of the country to agree with you. But that he has some sort of issue, which then leads us to speculation about this. Started a couple of months ago by one of the top allies for the president, Roger Stone. He said this before anyone else did. Listen.
They are going to claim that Donald Trump has Alzheimer's and that it is progressive, and that is progressing, and that is the source of his insanity. But under the 25th Amendment, if a majority of the cabinet plus the vice president agree that the president is incapacitated, well, then he is removed. And if he seeks to fight the charges, it goes to the U.S. House of Representatives, where erosion among Republicans could destroy the Trump presidency. But this is the game plan. Watch carefully. You're going to see the word Alzheimer's more and more in the next several days.
I believe that was Roger Stone trying to plant a thought in people's heads. It didn't stick. Almost no one talked about Alzheimer's at that time or a couple of days later. But it is very interesting that it's his Trump side that's putting that out there. Look, I think a very solid theory as to how Trump resigns is they say, oh, well, he had a checkup, and it turns out poor guy's got early stage Alzheimer's. He's going to have to step down. Now, is he going to do that because he's tired or that he's realized his opponents are correct, that he doesn't have the mental capacity for leadership? Of course not. No, they would do that as the beginning of a defense for the charges against them on the Russian collusion. Some of Trump's lawyers have represented mob characters who claimed insanity. That is the beginning of an insanity plea. Oh, please, please go in that direction. For the good of the country, for the good of the world. One, you'd resign from office. Two, we'd get to say we told you it was crazy. And three, it's not a defense that's going to work. But it gives you a sense of how desperate they are. It's his side that starts it, but it then starts to snowball. In a hot mic moment, two senators were caught talking about Donald Trump. They said a lot of disparaging things, but they also touched on this issue. One was a Democrat, Jack Reed. The other one was a Republican, Susan Collins. Listen to this.
I don't say that lightly and as a kind of, you know, a goofy guy.
Well, look, there's a Republican senator saying he might be crazy. So it has begun. Now we go to Bob Corker, another Republican senator, a very respected one, a very right-wing one from the South. And nonetheless, he said this.
The president has not yet been able to demonstrate the stability nor some of the competence that he needs to demonstrate in order to be successful.
Damn. That is a guy who in the past has not really criticized Trump. There's some Republicans who have. He was not in that group. For a guy that deeply right-wing to come out and say, our president, the head of the Republican Party, might not have the stability or the mental competence to be president. That should not be understated. That's a huge news event. That happened on Friday. So this is picking up steam. Jackie Speier, back on the Democratic side, tweeted out, POTUS is showing signs of erratic behavior and mental instability that place the country in grave danger. Time to invoke the 25th Amendment. That's a US congressperson saying that. When Adam Schiff was asked about it, now he's a person who's higher up in Democratic leadership in the House, he said, you know, I don't think we're at a point of thinking about the 25th Amendment. Saying in the longer version of that interview, I can see why people are concerned, I can see why they're going in that direction. But basically saying not yet, which doesn't mean no, that's outrageous, no, we wouldn't think about it, just not quite yet. And by the way, Democrats, for all that they're supposed to oppose Trump, often are far more timid in opposing him than Republicans who are not on Trump's side. Whether it's Bob Corker, Susan Collins, or people like Jennifer Rubin, very, very conservative writer for the Washington Post, when asked in a podcast if Trump is racist, she said, absolutely. He basically sees the world in very simplistic terms, and he categorizes people based on race and other factors along those lines, which you shouldn't make decisions based on. So when the time comes and Trump needs Republicans, it appears that a lot of them are not going to be there for him, and we're just at the beginning of this process. Now, speaking of timid, the mainstream media is incredibly timid when it comes to these type of topics. Nonetheless, Brian Stelter, in a slightly awkward way, brought up this issue over the weekend on CNN's Reliable Sources. Let's watch.
Is the president of the United States a racist? Is he suffering from some kind of illness? Is he fit for office? And if he's unfit, then what? These are upsetting, polarizing questions. They're uncomfortable to ask. But we in the national news media can't pretend like our readers and viewers aren't already asking. They are asking. Is the president of the United States suffering from some sort of illness? Is he racist? Is he fit to be commander in chief? And one more. Is it time for objective journalists? And I don't mean opinion folks. I mean down the middle journalists. To address these questions head on? And if so, how in the world should they do that?
That's actually super simple. I like the overly dramatic reading of that, but but you just talk about them. I know why CNN is very, very reluctant to do that, because they're like, oh, we don't want to be called the liberal media. No, 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 please, 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 please. Now look, Bob Corker's talking about it. It's okay. And by the way, they wouldn't have brought it up if people like Bob Corker didn't give them permission to bring it up, in a sense. So is the president racist? Look, we talked about that before. He clearly is. I mean, saying that he thinks the people who were protesting Nazis were just as culpable in saying that many sides, both sides do it. He called the counter-protesters of Nazis very, very violent. He said there was very fine people on the Nazi side. Jesus Christ. Anyway, is he ill? Does he actually have Alzheimer's? I have no idea. I'm not his doctor. And by the way, his doctor doesn't know. Trump writes his own notes for the doctor. The doctor pretty much admitted that, goofball as he is. Is he unfit for office? Damn straight he is. That's not a hard conversation at all. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that you could use the 25th Amendment. I'm going to give you my thoughts on that in 1 second, but I want to get your thoughts. We're doing a poll, tytnetwork.com/25th. And the question is, should Trump be disqualified from the presidency for mental incompetence? I mean, it's a funny way of putting it, but that's pretty much literally what the 25th Amendment would do. Now, again, you need Pence and you need a majority of Congress. It's not an easy thing to do. Do I think they should do it? No. Look, the guy is horribly incompetent. I told you from day one and earlier than day one that his number one problem would not be the racism or his policies, it would be his grotesque incompetence. Why do you think I did a segment called Loser Donald, where I found you 100 examples of his incompetence before the election? Because I knew that that's his number one problem. But we knew that before we voted. So I don't think you should be able to replace a president just because he's monumentally dumb or you think he's monumentally offensive. So if there is a crime and Mueller finds evidence of it, warm up that impeachment machine. I'll be the first person in that parade. I think Trump is going to resign in disgrace anyway. He might even use this Alzheimer's defense that his buddy Roger Stone has set up for him. But in terms of pushing out a president because we don't like him, that's an undemocratic principle that I'm not in favor of, even with a monster like Donald Trump, even though he's clearly incompetent in every way, shape, or form. But the guy's not in a coma, and we have no idea if he actually has an illness. So I vote no, but that's how bad it's gotten that we're having that conversation. Okay, I'm out of time, but there is a fun thing that we're going to do today. It starts today. I don't know if we'll do more of it. Called the OT. We're going to go overtime. So we'll do the second hour next. There's amazing stories there, including political ones about why the Navy ships are crashing. There's four of them that have crashed in the last year alone. And also how much money we're spending on Trump's Secret Service, because he keeps flying all over the place. But after the show is over, and even after the post game, I'm going to do a couple more segments for you guys, including, and that's of course for the online audience and for the members. And by the way, tytnetwork.com/join to become a member and get the full show, all the show, including the post game and the overtime, including a story about how a couple of the people who attended the Charlottesville rally have been thrown out of their colleges, and should they have been? And I think that's a very important question. And by the way, a guy who theoretically had a haircut that looked like a Nazi haircut got attacked in Colorado today. I'm going to tell you about that in the overtime as well. All right, but come right back. Let's talk about the Navy and the Secret Service troubles. We'll be right back.